Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday the 2nd of April, recording at 9:50 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now first a quick look at the highlights here today in Asia. We had a few more stock markets slightly higher rather than slightly lower. China A-shares were closed. India saw some follow-through to Friday's upward dynamic, upside follow-through. And in Europe, early declines were erased following some strength on Wall Street, and we had pretty good gains here. The UK index up 1.85%, DAX up 1.58%. The only decline that I can see here was Italy, just down a very small 0.2%. So overall, quite an impressive performance. Now, the news item that's getting most of the credit for doing this was manufacturing growth, U.S. manufacturing growth beating estimates, and that seemed to trigger some short covering and also some buying. That buying pushed the Dow and also the S&P 500 just to new highs, and the NASDAQ is not far behind. And what's interesting about the NASDAQ is that Apple, which had been down on Friday just under 600, saw a big gain in here today, and I think it was up 18, over $18, and taking it up to let me just tell you where that is. And that's up to 6.18 and 63 cents, up $19, and that qualifies as a bit of an upward dynamic. Okay, so what else? In long dated government bond markets, so we had a slightly firmer U.S. Treasuries futures, that is. We had slightly weaker JGBs and also European 10-year bonds. Those futures prices there declined a little bit. No big drama. The U.S. dollar was slightly easier, although it bested the euro, which is currently trading at 133.23. Sterling's just above the 160 level. Aussie dollar, 104.21. So this is mostly range-bound trading here. No, no drama overall. But when the manufacturing data came out for the U.S., precious metals reversed small declines. And although they closed $5 off the highs for gold nearly, but it's still up at 670 678. That's up $9.60. Platinum up 11 as I speak, over 1655. Silver just below 32.99 as I speak. And most of the industrial commodities were higher, particularly crude oil, 105.15 on the WTI. That's up over $2. And Brent is $20 higher still. So that's a rebound back up into the higher side of the narrow trading ranges that they've been holding in. Very few commodities were down today. Cocoa was, but I say most of them, one of the sugars, most of them showed small gains. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of these stock markets, we still have the overall short-term overbought condition, but we've been getting consolidations within these little tiny narrow ranges for the leading Wall Street indices. And given the Wall Street leash effect, just as Friday's gains on Wall Street steadied stock markets in Asia, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw markets there benefiting a little bit from this steadier performance that we saw in here by the U.S. They weren't big gains, but as I say, new closing highs for the what is it, the last 3 years or so, touched by the S&P and the Dow. These ranges are so orderly that if you look at them on the daily charts, it's not hard to see where stock markets would clearly show a loss of momentum other than the brief pauses that we've seen to date. Now, everybody is a bit nervous in terms of a pullback. How could you not be after such a strong start to the year as we've actually seen? And then there's also the history of 2010 and 2011. And I believe it was in April 2010 that a strong stock market rally ran out of steam and saw a correction of 16% or so, I think, for the U.S. And in May of 2011, we had a bigger reaction that qualified as a, we described at any rate, as a short, sharp, cyclical bear on Wall Street and so many other stock markets. Now, so there's this feeling of, could it be deja vu all over again, to quote the great Yogi Berra? And there are good reasons for thinking why that might not happen. One is that last year, and also in 2010, the world was petrified that Europe was going to experience its Lehman moment. Well, we know it's not, with down to a reasonable doubt, because Mario Draghi, the new ECB president, became, shortly after his appointment, became the lender of last resort, and he has made over a trillion euros available at 1% interest rates to the European banks in two tranches, and they've taken up that money. So really, they're well capitalized for the time being, and they've got the better part of 3 years here before they have to worry about this at all. So it's about time, in other words. So we're not going to get another Lehman moment here to drag stock markets down. Another concern was that Wall Street might experience a recession last year. There were a majority of economists at the in around mid-year forecasting a recession in 2011. Well, it didn't happen, as you know. And I have, well, there are lots of reasons to be cautious about GDP growth following such a major credit crisis as we saw. You know, as I've said on a number of occasions, all history shows that it takes at least 5 to 7 years to get back to any kind of normal economic environment after such a big setback. And we're only just in the early stages of the third year during that period. So there are lots of reason to be cautious about GDP growth. But again, we've had Bernanke say that he's ready to step in with more QE if necessary, and I would take him at his word, and that makes it a don't fight the Fed issue. Then the other factor that spooked people a bit in 2010 and more in 2011 was monetary tightening. It was a big issue in 2011 for the growth economies, China, India, so on, Brazil. But Brazil was among the first of those to lower. I was the first of those to start lowering interest rates again last year, as the stock market bottoming out process was beginning. And a number of other countries have followed, although not yet China with an interest rate cut, although it's eased, what is it? Chris will come to me in a moment. The bank reserve requirements. It's eased that. And India is also easing bank reserve requirements, but it hasn't done anything yet to lower short-term interest rates. And the problem, and well, they may be on hold for a while longer here. But so those three factors are not the threats that they were previously, but one factor that is very much still a threat is this firmness of crude oil prices. And I've written a little bit more about this today, including some overlay charts of the S&P with both Brent and WTI crude. And it's the same old story. Veteran subscribers will recall me mentioning this for decades, that you push the price of crude oil too high, or if it's pushed too high, then that's becomes an increasingly strong headwind for the global economy, with recessionary implications, and then you get stock markets dropping, and then the price of crude pulls back down on a demand destruction reality. So again, if there's any deja vu all over again, it's going to be that oil price factor weighing on stock markets because it weighs on global GDP. And what else to mention here? Precious metals. I like the what appear to be support building efforts in here by silver and gold. I have some futures positions in my portfolio and there, which I purchased, as you know, not long ago, and I picked up a little bit of platinum in here today, hoping that it will do the same. It steadied just above its 200-day moving average trend mean. Grains and beans, we had that big upward dynamic occurring on Friday, vindicating John McIntosh's crop forecasts in terms of the carryover stocks, particularly for corn, and because the USDA backed off way off their earlier figures, as you will have read and seen. And corn had a little further follow-through here today, up 11 cents. Soybeans up 18 cents. Rough rice a bit firmer as well. Only wheat eased slightly. Now, they are not up enough to be problems in terms of food price inflation, but they have bounced strongly from floors, let's put it that way. Corn bounced very strongly from its previous floor area. I think that's pretty much it in terms of the highlights here today. All the best.